Good afternoon, and as mentioned earlier, I'm Henry Shintin from the University of Wyoming. I'll be presenting to you on the topic optimizing camelina feedstock production for fallow replacement in wheat fallow rotation. Co-authors for this work is Valt Avato Giliaskov, August Nobo, Axel Garcia Garcia, and Thomas Fook. In dry areas of the northern Great Plains, especially in Wyoming where this study was conducted, wheat production is usually under a wheat fallow rotation. The fallow period is usually a 14-month period, and the intention is to allow the soil to recoup moisture. Studies show that the moisture storage efficiency of the fallow period is not very efficient. Nelson and Vigil, 2010, indicated that it is 35% under a no-till system and 20% under a conventional till system. In addition, since the fallow is in fallow, the soil is in fallow, you aren't going to get any crop income because there's no crop. And you have to maintain the fallow period, which is also at a cost, making the cropping system not economical. This raises the need to replace the fallow period of the cycle with another crop that will have minimum negative impact on wheat production and at the same time increase the farmer's income. Camelina, as far from our perspective, offers the potential. Why? It is a short season crop and it has a shallow root system. Actually, at harvest, we excavated the soil profile to look at the root distribution of camelina, and you can clearly see it doesn't have extensive lateral branching and it doesn't go deep. We measured and it was the effective root depth zone was 15 to 30 centimeters, extending to a maximum root depth of 40 centimeters plus or minus 2. It is also drought tolerant and it does well on marginal land compared to other crops. But there is limited information on camelina production recommendations. So our objectives were to look at the effects of planting dates and cultivars, and then also nitrogen and sulfur rates, then cultivar and harvest times on camelina seed yield, oil content, and protein content. We actually took a lot of data, but for time constraint for this presentation, I restricted myself to these three variables. For my first objective, we have three spring cultivars, that is Pronghorn, Shoshone, and Blenkrieg. And then the main, we have three seeding dates. As I've indicated, seeding dates depended on weather condition. What happened was in 2013, we conducted a study in 2013 and 2014. In 2013, the soil was very wet to perform any field operation until 2nd of May. So we had to space the planting date by 1 week interval. Then in 2014, the window for seeding was early. So we had the first seeding date on 11th of April. Then we spaced at 2 weeks interval. However, there was frost temperatures and the critical emerging stages of the second and third seeding dates, which completely killed the plants. So we had to reseed on 2nd June and then 9th June. What this is telling us is camelina seedlings, once they are well established, can withstand cold temperature. The temperature was around negative 4.5 degrees Celsius. However, at critical emerging stages, they are susceptible. The design was set in a randomized complete block design. The experiment was set up in a randomized complete block design, and it was set in a split pot arrangement with four replications. There was significant year-by planting date effect on camelina seed yield and protein content. But because of time constraint, I restrict my interpretation to the year, what happened in each year. Generally, early seeding and increased the seed yield. You can see in 2013 and in 2014, the seed yield is relatively higher compared to the mid and late seeding. But early seeding decreased the protein content. You can see early seeding decreased the protein content, which was the same in 2014. Cultivar also had significant effects on seed yield and protein content. basically Blinkit and Ponghorn were the better cultivars. They were not different, but better than Shoshone. And with protein content, Blinkit was better than Shoshone, but there was no difference. Ponghorn was intermediate, being which was not different from either of them. There was significant quantity-based by cultivar interaction on the oil content. What we see is, in under early seeding and under mid-seeding, there was no difference among the cultivars. However, under late seeding, Blinkit had the least oil content. For my second objective, we looked at nitrogen and sulfur. We had four levels of nitrogen, 0, 28, 56, and 112. And we had two levels of sulfur. We used urea and elemental sulfur are the sources of nutrients, and they were broadcast incorporated prior to seeding. The design was a randomized complete block design set in a split block arrangement with four replications. And this one, we also conducted a study in 2013 and 2014. This is just an overview of the field. The results showed significant yield by nitrogen effects on camelina seed yield, and increasing nitrogen rate generally increased the seed yield, but applying nitrogen rate beyond 56 did not result in any significant increase in the seed yield, which was the same in 2013 and then in 2014, which means camelina has low requirement for nitrogen. There was a general decline with oil content. With increasing N rates. You can see there was no difference with 28 and 0, but for subsequent N rates, higher N rates, you can clearly see that there is difference between the 0, 28, and then the 112. But protein content increased with nitrogen application. And it has been established that oil content and protein show inverse relation. Sorry, there was no difference in sulfur. And the reason is because of the lower rates. And also, because we are using lower N rates, Jian and others 2013 demonstrated that nitrogen increases sulfur uptake. But we didn't deem it necessary to use higher rates of nitrogen. He actually said above 120, then you begin to see effect of sulfur. But we are recommending camelina's recommending such level of nitrogen or sulfur for producers would not be very economical. The current market price for camelina is $0.08 dollars per kilogram. So if you use high rates, you won't get much. So our third objective was to look at three different harvest times. We have early, mid, and late. Early, we have 50% of the silicos turning brown, and under mid, 75%, and late, when we have more than 95%. We had two cultivars. We used a winter type, that DS, the BG1, and a spring type, Blinkit. The design, again, was randomized complete block design set in a plot arrangement with five replications. The main plot, as you can see, is two cultivars, and then the subplots are the harvest times, and was established in the 2013-2014 season. You can see this is the winter cultivar. And that is, this is a spring type cultivar, and this is a winter type cultivar. There was significant effect of harvest time on the seed yield and oil content. There was, if you look at this, when you do the calculation, you find a 7% reduction in seed yield when you harvest at the mid stage compared to the early stage, and 20%, more than about 20%. When you harvest at the late seeding compared to the early stage. And this is because camelina shatters. It's not very extensive, but you can see 20% reduction in yield means that you might want to consider swathing camelina in order to have some yield. However, the oil content was highest at the mid-harvest. There was significant cultivar by harvest time on the protein content. With a spring cultivar, which is Blinkit, you don't see any difference, but with and the BX, the BG1, which is the winter type, late harvest, resulted in higher protein content compared to the other two. And so basically that is it. In conclusion, we say that early seeding significantly increased camelina seed yield and oil content, but decreased the protein content. Nitrogen application significantly increased camelina seed yield. By this time, it increased the protein content and decreased the oil content. Harvest time shows significant effects on the camelina seed yield, protein, and oil content. This study was funded by the USDA NIFA Biomass Research Development Initiative Program and the Western Sustainable Agricultural Research and Education Program. We also thank the Sheridan Research and Extension Center, the staff of Sheridan Research and Extension Center of the University of Wyoming Agricultural and Extension Station, and also the staff of Southern Agricultural Research Center of Montana State University. Finally, a big thank you to all who assisted us in one way or the other. Thank you very much. That's right. At that stage, I said 2012 and 2013 season. So, 2013 and 2014 season. So, in 2013, the fall of 2013, we planted the winter type, and then the land was there. And then during the spring in 2014, we planted the spring type. So, basically, it's a 1 year data for that particular study.
That is just 1 year
data for that particular study. Yeah.
Protein and oil.
Yeah.
You saw some variability, but are there target quality parameters for protein and oil?
For camelina, the most important parameter is oil content because of biodiesel. That is the most the use of camelina, the most. Though we can use it for animal feed, but the oil, biodiesel is the most important thing. So your vision is to have more oil content. I didn't discuss on the biodiesel production. I actually studied that. But the reduction in the oil content with nitrogen application did not have significant effect on the biodiesel. So with N application, you still have high biodiesel production, even though your oil content was reduced, meaning the yield benefit was more than the reduction in the oil content. Hello.
So, what do you think would be the best nitrogen
for? Yeah, if I had done a complete analysis of my study, then you would have really appreciated it. But to make things short, I would say it depends on the weather condition and the rainfall. Because we actually took moisture content during the season within the 2 years, and there was variability across the years. So, under late seeding. Because I have late seeding and early seeding, which I haven't even bring them here. So if you seed very late, then you would want to use 28 kilograms per hectare because the soil wouldn't have enough time to make use of the nutrient. And then if you seed early, you would want to use about 56. And also, it also depends on amount of rain that you get in each year. Yeah, the whole season would have been interesting to discuss, but time is short to present everything. Thank you.
Thank you.